This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Although major professional sports shut down across the United States and worldwide, there's still a futures market to analyze heading into the 2020 NFL season. This weekend on the Lombardi Line with VSiN host and former NFL executive Michael Lombardi, VSiN market analyst Josh Applebaum discussed the Chicago Bears and the varying win totals for the team in 2020.
This is really probably your biggest discrepancy win total across the board. So we have three different numbers at three different books. You saw the Bears go 8-8 last year. PointsBet has their win total at 8.5, really juicing up the under -134. FanDuel has 8 at even money, -110. And DraftKings has 7.5, -110. So it looks like the market really doesn't know which way to go with the Bears. You know, and this is the importance of shopping for the best line, having multiple outs, as you like to say, Patrick. But under 8.5, you think there's some value there. Over 7.5, maybe some value there. Maybe FanDuel at 8 has tagged this number perfectly.
Continuing the discussion on the Bears, host Micah Lombardi says he would stay under the total of 8 for the Bears.
This is a stay away from me. I don't trust Nick Foles to stay healthy. I don't trust MVP Mitch whatsoever. And I'm concerned about the Bears' offensive line. I'm concerned about the Bears' offense in general. I mean, Foles is good when he's in the backup role. If Foles is the starter, you know, then it's a little bit of a problem. And then we talk about they want to run the football. They need to run the ball a little bit more in Chicago. And yet they hire John DeFilippo as the offensive coordinator who got fired at Minnesota because he wouldn't run the ball. Last year, they tried to run the ball with Fournette. They really couldn't. So I don't really buy into this. Do I think the Bears are a great team? I think some of the players on the Bears team 3 years ago were great. Can Robert Quinn have the same kind of season he had last year now that he's gotten paid? You're going to have to take that one. You're going to have to hope that you're right there. So for me, this is the Bears or another team. There's too many uncertainties with the Bears. There's too many things you're hoping on to go right if you bet this over number.
And while many betting experts are high on the Steelers to have a rebound season in 2020, Michael Lombardi says this looks like an 8-8 team to him.
I definitely think that's an 8-8 team. And I think we should put the picture of Big Ben up there. Stephanie has it. And I mean, really, when you're making this bet on the Steelers to go over the win total, just look at this picture here and think, my man, is he going to get in shape? Like, seriously, you're counting on is my man to get in shape. Now, if he gets in shape, take it. If you have enough confidence that he's going to get in shape. But he can't leave the house now. I mean, it's the perfect storm for not getting in shape. You can't leave. You can't work out. There's no OTA days. It's all on Big Ben. If that's the way you want to spend your money, God bless.
Michael Lombardi on betting the under on the Steelers. They are 9 juice to the over at many sports books for their season win total. The photograph he's referring to is Big Ben Roethlisberger doing his best Grizzly Adams impersonation while under lockdown due to the COVID-19 pandemic. This week in Point Spread Weekly, don't miss out as our VSiN experts take you through the process of making your own power ratings. Many have asked for the information, and it will be in this week's Point Spread Weekly due out Wednesday. Make a risk-free bet on VSiN with the VSiN Plus free subscription from now until 7 days after a major sport returns. Get Point Spread Weekly, VSiN's digital magazine, 24/7 live video stream of VSiN programs and replays, and much, much more. For details on the VSiN Plus free subscription, go to VSiN.com. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
In the new Point Spread Weekly, out Wednesday, VSiN's experts take you through the process of making your own power ratings. Many of you have asked for more information about this topic, and now Matt Humans, Steve Mackinnon, Paul Stone, and Bruce Marshall detail their methods. Sign up now for a VSiN Plus subscription absolutely free. You won't be asked to pay until a major U.S. sport returns to action. Sign up today to join VSiN Plus. Just visit VSiN.com. That's VSIN.com to learn more.
Sign up now for VSiN's free daily newsletter. You will get an email every morning with news, analysis, and betting resources to help you improve your handicapping. Watch highlights from VSiN shows. That's all for free. That's all in VSiN's daily newsletter. Sign up at VSiN.com/newsletter. Why, it's like getting a postcard from your friends in the desert.
welcome you in here on My Guys in the Desert. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. We're going to start with some good news today, as today is the last day of March. Get the hell out of here, March, as tomorrow is April. Spring's anew, and we're all going to be glad to see March in the rear view. But we welcome you in. Got a huge 2 hours coming up here on My Guys in the Desert. And also good news, joining me today, by the way, I'm Patrick, Amal Shaw is here, Mr. Sunshine himself. Hi, Amal. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
VSIN, Vinny. Hey, Vinny, Vin. Hey, Vinny, you know what? It's not all bad news. Yesterday, I hit the late pick four at Will Rogers in Oklahoma. So come on, if we continue to roll along with the ponies, I hit the late pick four, my friend.
Well, good for you. Hey, I'm glad to hear it. You're cashing tickets. You're doing well in the market. You're doing well in the sports market.
Money. No, I got to clarify, and Amal knows this. The market, I was on a freaking heater. The market has taken a turn for the worse. I didn't, and Amal, I should have taken your advice. All of you listen to Amal, not just when it comes to sports wagering, but when it comes to the stocks as well, because you told me to sell, I held, and now I'm donezo.
Listen, I'm not going to sit there and say I told you so, but I told you so.
Hey, let's time for some self-actualization, boys. Let's check in on you. Now that we've kind of gotten into a rhythm with this self-quarantine, how has life changed, daily routine? Let's start with you, Amal. How has it changed? Now, those that don't know, Amal, he can look out his front window there and see the strip. He's got the best view in the city, but it's a little eerie over there right now, right?
Yeah, it really is. You know, if you go on the strip to jog or anything like that, you see it's absolutely vacant. There's nobody around it. It's amazing. You go down Las Vegas Boulevard and it's just completely desolate. So unfortunately, just the fact that you're kind of isolated as everyone else is, it's really difficult. You know, I have a hard time sitting still. So for me to be under quarantine, I had wagers from my friends that did not think I'd be able to make it 72 hours. But surprisingly, I've done well thus far. I just think because seeing what the situation has been in places like New York, you realize how bad it is. I've really taken this seriously. So hopefully other people are doing that as well.
Vinny Vin, I'm checking in on your wellness, a wellness check with you, daily routines. We know you've been sent to the garage, but how are you doing?
Here. So I'm still working on, you know, obviously props and, you know, refining, you know, whether it's house rules or, you know, information sheets, the odd sheets that we put out, stipulations and things, you know, always in look ahead mode, but there's only so much of that you can do. Let me tell you something. This to-do list is killing me. This to-do list.
Is it the honeydew?
Let me tell you something. I never thought, you know, first of all, you put stuff in closets, right? And then you say, okay, it's in the closet. Well, now you got to go in there and get it out of the closet and you have to go through it. Oh, bet the over on, you know, the paper boxes with the reams of paper.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. I put up a prop on this. You go through a full one of those with pictures and old clippings and stuff like that. You got to go over. That's the 90 minutes, the over and under. Make a play. And don't bet the under. What did that tell you?
All right, there he is. Vinny's hanging in there. Amal, of course. Now, Amal, I'm sure you've heard this. The latest rumblings out of Skins camp is they're going to trade out, right? Trade out of that number two. And most likely the trade partner would be 5 with Miami. Remember, Miami's got the 5, the 18, the 26, also the 39 and 56 in the second round. So they've got a ton of equity as far as trade pieces. It looks like the Redskins want to trade back to 5. Miami, if Tua's medical's clear, my guess would be trade up to 2. Thoughts on the Skins potentially looking to move out of 2 there?
Well, you know, from Washington's perspective, I can see it. You know, they still need a lot of pieces, even though Chase Young's a difference maker. And I think it'd be terrific on that defensive front with Jonathan Allen. I think that would have a drastic improvement for their pass rush. But what's interesting, and Matt Eumanns brought this up last week with the Miami Dolphins, this is a team that was in position to be able to draft as high as 1 or 2. And now to trade up 3 spots, it seems like, hey, you had that opportunity. What were you doing trying to win games? In essence, you're costing your guys, you're costing your team capital. So really a surprising potential move by the Miami Dolphins at this point in time.
Vinny, you have a reaction to that? Not necessarily the Dolphins in particular, but right now the Redskins looking to move back. We do have which NFL draft exact outcomes you like the most. And for example, you know, the betting favorite is Burrow 1, Young 2, and Tua 3 at plus 225. How about thoughts on the Skins looking to move back there?
Well, if Tua is number 3, that would mean he'd go to the Lions, right? I'm not so
unless
sure
the Lions are going to trade out, Vin.
Yeah, unless they move. But getting back to the Redskins trading out, look, there's a school of thought too that sometimes or a lot of teams will draft the best football player, right? I mean, there's question marks about Tua's health. I think he's going to be fine personally, and I think he's going to help somebody. But if you're the Redskins, you've made some moves in the offseason, including your head coach. He goes out and gets a quarterback that he's familiar with. They've got Haskins, so they'll probably give another chance to. If you're the Redskins, why do you trade that pick? Or if you're the Dolphins, why do you trade that pick? Because the Redskins are probably going to go with Chase Young. I mean, he's probably by many accounts, he's the best football player, and he helps them defensively, which they need help with as well. So I think if you're the Dolphins, if it's just a straight swap, I don't know if you make it. If you're the Redskins, you're in the driver's seat. And if you think the Dolphins really want Tua, then you got to ask for more than just that draft pick. I think you get some players as well. But I think okay. I think the Redskins are obviously in the driver's seat with that particular move when it comes to the Dolphins.
Well, speaking of scouting, we're going to talk to Matt Williamson, ESPN, coming up in just about 50 minutes here on My Guys in the Desert. He works for ESPN as a scout. We'll talk to him about the draft. But, you know, Amal, as this continues, there's always a player. There's smokescreen constantly. It's a game that these teams are playing, right? The Isaiah Simmons piece is very interesting because I think that's a guy, specifically with the way the game is played now, that he can do everything, come off the edge, linebacker, safety, cornerback. I mean, you can literally use him in a myriad of ways. The Isaiah Simmons piece is fascinating to me because right now it's 7-1 that he gets drafted third overall. To me, that's a player to look out for because while Chase Young continues to be that name off the edge, I think Simmons is going to have a lot of these teams salivating.
Yeah, I mean, you look to me, there's three defenders out there that could be game changers. They're all at different levels, right? Chase Young on the defensive line. You've got Isaiah Simmons, where he can be a linebacker or a safety. And then you've got Jeffrey Okuda, who's a corner. So I think anybody in the top five that is drafting, they have an option in from a defensive perspective that they really have some choices there where so many times you look at somebody, you're locked in with them. So I think Simmons is a guy that you mentioned could be in play for, whether it's Detroit, probably not likely with the Lions signings in the offseason in terms of linebackers, but more for the New York Giants, even for the Miami Dolphins, it would be an upgrade defensively. We know they're not going to be looking at a cornerback. They just signed Byron Jones to a contract in the offseason, comes over from Dallas. So to me, Isaiah Simmons is a guy who's a little bit of a wild card, could go higher than some people anticipate, but we'll see what happens.
And your thoughts on Tua? I know we've talked about it a little bit. I just wanted to follow up quickly for the audience that just tuning in for the first time. Your thoughts on Tua overall as a prospect? Obviously, medicals are a concern.
You know, to me, he's outstanding. I always have a history concern anytime a player's got injury history. You know, being great is being available. And if you're not available, you can't make plays. And that's the one concern you have when you look at him. And at Alabama, he's played with a ton of talent, but he's been injured. Offensive line has been good in the 3 years he's been there. And so for him to be constantly injured is always alarming. And, you know, it tends to be true when guys have just nagging injuries that impact them throughout the course of their career for whatever reason, that continues to be a case moving forward. So hopefully I'm wrong on that. But for me, I like him a lot. I think he's a very good quarterback. I like his disposition, very even keel, not too high, not too low. But both of these quarterbacks at the top, I think, are outstanding. I think there's tremendous separation between Herbert and Love compared to Tua and Burrow at the top. I think when you look at the top five players in this draft, I mentioned the three guys defensively and then Burrow and Tua. I think any one of these franchises would be very fortunate to land any one of these five guys. I think they're all going to do well. Now, what levels in terms of how well they play still remains to be seen.
Great descriptor and temperament, or excuse me, disposition for both Burrow and Tua by Amal. I totally agree with you there. Hey, we're going to transition because FanDuel Boys has posted the look ahead lines for every Buccaneers game this season, Vin. But as we do, just as a transition, I wanted to bring this up. You guys saw this yesterday. Looks like ESPN's going to get out in front of this quarantine. They're going to drop The Last Dance, which is a 10-part series, essentially a docuseries on Michael Jordan and the Bulls. That was supposed to drop in June. They're going to drop this April 19th, so coming up in a few weeks here. When that was announced yesterday, I couldn't wait to ask you this question, Vinny, as we open up My Guys. When talking about players or teams influencing a number, you know, here in Vegas, obviously, when the Lakers are playing, you're going to influence, you're going to shade that number because it's going to be a heavily bet team. You were booking when Jordan was obviously during Jordan's career and at his peak. How did he influence the number, Michael Jordan?
Yeah, it's a great question. He was definitely the player that had the biggest impact on the line. But if you recall, you know, barring serious injury, Michael Jordan, he really didn't miss too many games. I mean, when you think about it, so he would play sick. We saw him in the playoff, that great playoff game. And of course, that was the finals against the Jazz. I will tell you this, Jordan at that time, was worth at least 4 to 5 points. And again, it depends on the opponent too, right, guys? I mean, when you look at, sure, you know, just like today, if there's a team that's a competitive team, then it's certainly going to mean more to in a game like that than say a team that's, you know, 20 games under 500. Are they home or are they on the road? But Jordan, at that time, you started at four, and then you went from there, usually up from there. So probably 4 or 5 points with Jordan at that time. But the most impactful player in terms of the number when he was at his peak.
You know why I love Amal Shaw? He's probably the only dude on the planet. First off, he knows a ton, but he probably has Jordan like 7 or 8 as far as all time. He's a Amal is you go one way, Shaw's going to go the other way. He's got Jordan like 9 greatest player of all time, right, Amal?
Yeah, because the other 8 I have are also Michael Jordan. Are you kidding me? These LeBron wannabes, stop it with that nonsense. You're not going to hear stories of guys going, he was going at LeBron. Think about this. Go back on YouTube. You can pull up stories of Kenny Anderson talking about Drazen Petrovic. He's like, he's going at Jordan. I mean, he's going at Jordan. Giving you a little of that Brooklyn accent from Kenny A. I mean, nobody ever sits there and talks about guys that are like, I'm going at LeBron. One of my favorite stories is Kenny Smith talks about it. When Reggie Theus got traded for Michael Jordan and then the Bulls drafted Jordan third, Reggie Theus goes, no rookie can replace me. Jordan scores 43 in Sacramento. He said he was going to get 45 in that game. He comes into the Kings locker room and he says, but you got to still come to Chicago. I mean, that is the greatness of Michael Jordan. You know, everybody wants to compare LeBron James to him. I always ask this question. First of all, LeBron's being celebrated. I think it was last year he played 82 games. Jordan played 82 games like 7 or 8 times in his career. His career scoring average is over 30 points a game. This guy was unbelievable. There was nobody like him. You know, this guy not only transcended the sports world. One of my favorite stories, Patrick, you know, you lived in LA for a long time. One of my favorite stories of all time was Jordan showed up at a party. There was Tom Cruise, all these big celebrities. I don't know. It was some sort of like Oscar type of event or something similar to that. And they said, it was one thing when Tom Cruise and other people were there, when Jordan came into the room, yep, everybody stopped and they stared at him. Michael Jordan, I've always said, is probably the third most famous person I've ever seen in my lifetime behind Princess Di and Michael Jackson. This guy was the most transcendent athlete. To me, the greatest individual player.
All right. Well, we lost Amal first. Amal froze up a little bit. By the way, did you know who number 4 was as far as the most famous people that Amal ever met, Vinny? Number 4 was actually Amal.
I didn't say I met.
I thought it was you.
And by the way, somewhere in Florida, Jay Shaw, the father of, is laughing because I just fired his son up for like a 6-minute diatribe on Michael Jordan. Hey, quickly, Vin.
The whole thing, I had a good one.
No, and you froze up, but it's probably good for everybody. Hey, origination of the number, Vin, here on the look ahead numbers. The teaching moment for the audience here. When we say look ahead lines, that means what specifically?
It means that you're taking the schedule, in this case, of the Buccaneers, and you're matching them up first at home games against their opponents, and you're projecting a number on that game. And then you look at the road games as well, and you formulate who the opponent is compared to the Buccaneers, and you're simply coming up with a line now. And that's based on a very early power rating, pre-draft compilation, pre any more free agent signings. In this case, especially with the Buccaneers, what are they going to do with their offensive line? But these are what I think it's who is it? FanDuel or DraftKings?
Yep, FanDuel. Nailed it. FanDuel.
FanDuel. They put out numbers that they believe right now, based on their power ratings for the Buccaneers and their opponents, what the numbers are going to be for each week that the season puts out.
Okay, and limits on the look aheads. If I wanted to come into the book, if the book were open right now, what's a limit you're going to throw up there?
I have no idea what their limit is. I mean, I know this. If we put up look ahead, we put up proposition bets, a couple of dimes, and you want more, come to the counter. You know, Chrissy's philosophy, Jimmy and myself. You want, come to the counter. Don't be bashful. Let's talk.
By the way, boys, I'm betting harness racing in Sweden right now, if that gets you going. Okay, look ahead number, Falcons at the Bucks, week one here, Amal. The number, I just want to get your reaction immediately. The Bucks at home hosting the Falcons, laying 5.5, -230 on the money line there.
You know, I like Atlanta. I think this team is going to be much improved this year. We keep talking about Tampa simply because of Tom Brady being there, but for me, I think Atlanta's a team that's going to be very dangerous. You get Todd Gurley at what, $6.5 million. I think he's going to be terrific. He's got a lot to prove still. I think he's got enough in the tank to be competitive in the early part of the season because he's not going to be dinged up or nicked up. So keep an eye out for them. I think this number is a bit of an overreaction. Yes, Tom Brady's going to improve this team offensively, but I still think Atlanta can be competitive. And I know we're getting ready to go to break, Patrick, but maybe you can drink some more Haterade that you've been drinking this morning, buddy.
I will do that, in particular towards you, Mr. Shaw. But coming up next, the college basketball season came to a screeching halt, but not for Vinny. Amal may be slacking, but Vinny keeps grinding and coming back. Vinny's 2020 college basketball power rankings right here on My Guys in the Desert as we continue. It's a fun show on a Tuesday right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It is My Guys in the Desert as we welcome you back here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. My name is Patrick Maher, live from Las Vegas. I'm Amal Shaw, of course, here as well. And Mr. Vinny Maliulo. And speaking of which, Vinny continues to grind. The last coaches poll, the final coaches poll as college basketball came to a screeching halt, was released on March 16th. But Vinny's got his own, and we're going to go through Vinny's 2020 college basketball power rankings as it stands today. Vin, you want to start with one there? You've got Kansas at number one.
Yeah, and let's remember this, Patrick. Again, nothing against the polls, but you don't make prices. Polls don't determine prices. Power ratings do, and these are my top 10 teams at the close of the season, when the season was suspended. So I had Kansas number one. I had Michigan State two, Gonzaga, then Duke, Dayton, and Florida State six, Baylor seven. I had Villanova eight, San Diego State nine, and Kentucky 10. Now, what's interesting about this exercise, when you look at it, again, they're very close too. I mean, the difference between, let's say, Kansas at number one and Kentucky at number 10 is probably about 4.5 to 5 points. So they're pretty close, especially when you look at, from Dayton on down to Kentucky, then it's only a couple of points, 2.5 points. And these are based on, being on a neutral court. When you look at the top 20 teams, I mean, there's really not that much difference in terms. It's not this disparity of, necessarily, people might think it's a difference of 20 points. It's not. It's pretty close. And this was a year where, as we know, there was a lot of parity. It was a wide open tournament. But as you could see by this, the Blue Bloods were certainly going to have something to say about this, particularly when you're looking at a team like Kansas, Michigan State, Gonzaga. I think, and based on the last decade of their body of work, that you can consider them one of the Blue Bloods now, too. So in my opinion, they would have had something to say about this.
And Amal, I think this is a great illustration. The information that, generally most people are reading as opposed to behind the book or what you're doing as a professional better, what you're getting. Look, Vinny has Michigan State two, final coaches poll 12. The 12 ranking is going to influence the general better. And Vinny's got them all the way up at two there, Michigan State.
Yeah, for me, if you ask me outside of Kansas, who's ranked number two in the polls, I couldn't even tell you. I have zero clue. I thought it was Gonzaga.
It's Gonzaga. And three was Dayton, four was Baylor.
So I don't pay attention to the college basketball polls, but I do agree with one thing that Vinny has that a lot of people wouldn't have Michigan State as high, because I feel like Cassius Winston is probably the best point guard in college basketball. Now, from an NBA draft perspective, you could look at different guys like Halliburton and others out there. But to me, when you look at it, when you get into the tournament, I thought what he brought to the table was just incredible for Tom Izzo's team. It's unfortunate they won't have an opportunity to really prove it out there. But I like what he has. I think all these teams were interchangeable, and maybe not as high on Villanova, some other people are, but I think overall, you look at especially the top six, top seven, I think they're all right there, whether it's Dayton, Baylor, Florida State, even Duke as well. They're all vying for a potential Final Four spot there. So would have been really interesting and a really good tournament with everyone, with there being so much parity, and I think no real killer team out there. I think this would have been a lot of fun in terms of the subway tournament. Unfortunately, it's not going to materialize.
And I think it's a great point. And Vinny, Michigan State, Xavier Tillman, Cassius Winston, and Tom Izzo. That's the trio going into a tournament that you love, right? Yep.
And just to expand on what you guys are saying, which is spot on, right? You have to look at what the complete body of work of the season and not overreact to one point or another, but also look at current form going into that, into what was going to be the tournament. When you look at how Michigan State was playing towards the end of the season, then I think you have to pay attention at same thing with Baylor. Baylor was not playing as good as they were during the course of the season. So you have to take that into consideration as well. San Diego State too, a little bit of a slip towards the end there. So, but again, in our minds, power rankings, power ratings certainly come into play way more. We do not necessarily pay attention to polls. Just give me the matchups. I'll give you the numbers. That's the way we look at it.
All right. Well, here's the question. Did you enjoy Vinny Maliulo's power rankings? If you did, this weekend's Point Spread Weekly features everything you need to know when it comes to making your own power rankings. Now, that's very important. One of the most asked questions we've received during this downtime is, how do professional bettors come up with their own power ratings? You can go to vsin.com right now and check them out. And Vinny, of course, has this week's Point Spread Weekly. It's featured in there. Make sure you check out everything you need to know when it comes to making your own power rankings so you can be just like Amal Shaw. Coming up next here on My Guys in the Desert, running back props. They're out. We're going to discuss them as we continue. It is VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Come on back. If you could only hear the conversations during the commercials, because they are so fun, as we welcome you back. It's My Guys in the Desert. Hope you're having a nice day. Again, the last day of March. We can't wait to get to April, as we say. Good afternoon to you. I'm Patrick Maher, live in Vegas. Of course, Vinny Maliulo chilling in his office, and Amal Shaw as well. Okay, boys, some new running back props are out. This is both rushing and receiving. Amal, we'll start with you. Alvin Kamara, his number is set at 1549.5, and the juice is 112 both ways. Remember, rushing and receiving.
Yeah, you know, Kamara's plays so well out of the backfield. I think he's a guy you have to look at this number and potentially look it over. Now, there is one concern. You've got Emmanuel Sanders on this team now. So I think the number of receptions that Alvin Kamara will get this year should reduce somewhat. To me, I would look at potentially taking this one under. I think he's going to be terrific. I think he's probably right around the number. But if the Saints have a terrific season, let's say he doesn't play in week 16 or at least in the 16th game of the year, I think it could be a situation that could hurt you. So for me, I'm going to say lean towards the under on Alvin Kamara.
Hey, Vinny, just as an aside, are you and Chrissy Andrews and Jimmy Vaccaro, are you guys still, whether it's Zooming or teleconferencing, are you still getting together and kind of rolling out these props and brainstorming and spitballing with one another as if we're going to post them? Is that something that you're still practicing?
Yeah, good question. I talk to either Jimmy every day or Chrissy. Every other day we'll be chatting with each other and going over potential props and everything. But you've always got to have in the back of your mind the situation with the season. Now, based on, you know, we're making assumptions that the season is in fact going to take place, how do we break them down? What's it going to be first? Well, the first thing will be the draft props, right? Then we'll get through the draft, adjust the futures for the Super Bowl, then, of course, the conference and the divisions. And they'll be predicated on the season, first of all, taking place. But then with individual props like these here that we're talking about, you want to make sure that you take into consideration and address, is there have to be a minimum number of games played? So like all proposition wagers, you've got to pay attention to the house rules and then make sure you're addressing what stipulations are associated with each individual prop. And then the other part about these, by the way, just as an aside, when you're formulating these from our side of the counter or when you're betting them on your guy's side of the counter, take into account who the quarterback is. You just mentioned the addition. I thought Emmanuel Sanders' addition to the Saints is key for the first one, Kamara. But take into consideration what the system is that these players are in, and who the quarterback is, and in particular, is that quarterback new, like we're going to get to here in the next example.
Well, no, that's a perfect, and also the new coach, right? New system, Matt Rhule, Christian McCaffrey, yep. And Amal. This is a dude that had what, 350 touches, 103 receptions, 250 plus carries last year. Christian McCaffrey. I mean, they're just grinding him on that rookie contract, if you think about it. But his number is set at, you know, almost 2100, 2099 and a half, 112 both ways.
Yeah, the one concern I have with McCaffrey is the fact that they've been utilizing him so much. Yeah. I thought last year when they were out of contention, I thought they should have shut him down. And that is the one thing you're concerned with. Now, if this team, which I don't think they're going to be that competitive in the NFC South, because we're looking at three teams on paper right now that, in my opinion, are better, Tampa, Atlanta, and, of course, the New Orleans Saints. So if the Panthers are out of contention, hopefully Matt Rhule is smart enough to say, hey, look, we've got to negate the number of touches Christian McCaffrey gets down the stretch. So I would maybe look towards the under here. Also, Teddy Bridgewater should be a vast improvement over Kyle Allen. Kyle Allen was just checking everything down. I don't think that's going to happen as much this year with the Carolina Panthers. I think we'll see a little bit more of a diversification offensively with this offense. So for me, I would look at the under on this number, even though McCaffrey will probably wind up with 12 to 1400 yards rushing. You can make the argument he's going to go over, but he's got to stay healthy. The 2100, that's a fairly big number. You're looking at a scenario where not only has he got to kill it on the ground, but he's really got to kill it through the air. And I think we're going to see situations where Carolina's trailing a lot this year.
And remember, Amal, and we'll go to Vinny on this. Remember, Joe Brady, who ran that LSU offense, is going to be running the Carolina offense. So if you want to study how the running back is used schematically, go back and watch the tape there with Edwards-Helaire at LSU. Scott Turner, who was running the Carolina Panther offense.
They don't have Arkansas on the schedule.
They certainly don't. And Christian McCaffrey, that number set at 2099 and a half. I'm guessing that's also a popular play. You're going to shade that number up a bit because bettors are going to want to bet over on McCaffrey, right, Ben?
Well, you would think so on the first part, but I think more sophisticated bettors would look to the under, like Amal said. The other factor, besides the ones that Amal mentioned, which are important points, is the defenses are going to key on him. What else do they have? Right. So you've really got to. My concern is exactly what I'm on. My biggest concern is two concerns: keying on him and his usage in these last couple of years has been enormous. Credit the kid for being as durable as he is. You wonder, can he sustain that durability during the course of the season when he's going to be the focus of that offense?
Okay, Amal, I will Venmo you $20 right now if you can name this. Remember, Chad Morris, he flamed out at Arkansas. Who is the new head coach at Arkansas? You know the face. You'd know him if you saw him. But if you know his name, I'll Venmo you $20.
Is it Scott Satterfield?
It's not Satterfield.
Where did he go? He went to Missouri. I'm sorry. He went to Missouri, not Arkansas.
Remember the old school offensive line coach there at Georgia? He was an Arkansas guy. They hired him to come over and replace Morris. Let's go Zeke. 1749 and a half is the number rushing and receiving with the prop here. And it's 112 both ways, Amal.
You know, I would look at the over. Zeke is terrific out of the backfield in terms of catching the football. This is a guy, if you look at and hit what he's been able to do in his time in the league, has been phenomenal so far. 1,600 yards, 1,400 yards, 1,300 yards. The only year he didn't have 1,000 yards rushing was the one year when he missed due to the six-game suspension. And remember, he catches the ball quite a bit out of the backfield. I think Dallas is going to be in a position to be winning or leading in games, and you're going to want to count on him. So I think Zeke is a guy you could potentially look at taking the over on.
always a publicly bet team right there with the Cowboys there, Benny.
No question. America's team for a reason. I lean towards them in the division ahead of the Eagles. I just think they're a more balanced team. And they've got more balance, frankly, more options on the offensive side of the football. And I think Prescott and Zeke, they have good chemistry together. So I agree with them all on this one. Zeke Elliott and his durability is a plus factor here.
You and I were talking during the break with them all about those power ratings and how you come up with them. But in this new point spread weekly, Matt Eumanns, Chris Andrews, Vinny, yeah, Bruce Marshall, Kenny White, Paul Stone, they're all in there giving you an idea as a novice how you can come up with your own power rating. So that's pretty damn cool if you want to check that out. Coming up next, me and the boys, we're going to go over the Bears team props. Kind of going to give you here on My Guys a team a day. And today we're going to stick with the Bears. Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky, who's going to be under center. We'll go over that with Vinny and Amal coming up. Remember, you want to give him a follow. He's at VSIN Vinny, at Amal Shaw 1 on Twitter as well. We're coming back right here. It's My Guys in the Desert, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. The Bears are up next. Come on back. All right, it's My Guys, and I've mentioned it in the new Point Spread Weekly out Wednesday. VSiN's experts take you through the process of making your own power ratings. Many of you have asked for more information about this topic, so we're going to deliver it. We've asked many of the hosts and guests, you know, to detail their methods. Again, it's Vinny, it's Chris Andrews, it's Bruce Marshall, it's Legends, Kenny White. They're all in there. Sign up for a VSiN Plus subscription. It's absolutely free right now. That's what you need to know. If you go to VSiN.com right now, you see the VSiN Plus package. You sign up, it's free, and you're not going to be asked to pay until a major U.S. sport returns to action. So sign up today, join VSiN Plus, become an insider with us. It's VSiN.com. That's VSIN.com. As we welcome you back here on My Guys in the Desert, hope you're having a great day. The end of March and April is on the horizon. Vinny Maliulo and, of course, Amal Shaw. I'm Patrick Maher. Let's get into the Bears, boys. We're going to talk. Now, first off, let's just start here and what you think, Amal. I want to start with you as far as what you think is going to happen with the Foles Trubisky situation.
You know, I think it's going to be really interesting. I think Trubisky's going to have an opportunity, but I think Foles will eventually emerge. I just don't think Mitchell Trubisky's the guy. Look, I thought it was a reach when they drafted him out of North Carolina. He started for one season there only. I have some concerns in terms of the overall experience, and he's just not a guy that can stretch the field. Not that Foles is far superior in that category, but I think he's still overall better, and I think he gives them a better chance to win on Sunday. So I think we'll see Nick Foles be the starter there.
And we've got a win total here as far as the Chicago Bears, Vinny, set at 8.5. Remember, there was a discrepancy 2 years ago. They led the league in turnover ratio and turnover differential. Last year, that regressed, came back to the mean. So did Trubisky. Well, it's not like he was a world beater the year before. But again, a team that was on the come up is now sitting at 8.5 as far as their win total. Juiced up a little bit, 120 to the over.
No, I think the 8.5 kind of leans towards Foles being the starting quarterback. Listen, I think I give Trubisky credit for getting to this level and for competing at this level. Now he's in a dogfight for his job, for the starting job. And you know what? If you're a professional, that's what you want. You want to be pushed. You want to be pushed internally and then be pushed by your opponents as well. But that said, 8.5, I think it's right there. I might be inclined to go Bears 8 over, although 8.5, if you think Foles is going to be the quarterback, then sure, yeah. I mean, then maybe that's a better number. But, boy, I'll tell you what, again, in that division, tough division, you know that the Packers are going to be the number one choice. They're favored to win the division. Then you've got the Vikings right there. And then it's a dogfight between Detroit and the Bears. Bears probably a better, you know, they'll probably be number three in terms of the division futures. But I have to tell you, right now, the fourth best quarterback in the division is in Chicago.
Now, as far as Amal's laughing, go ahead, Amal. What do you got on that?
No, he's 100% right. I mean, you look at the quarterback situation there. I thought this team had an opportunity, whether it be a Cam Newton, Teddy Bridgewater, or anyone else. I thought they could have made a splash and had a tremendous impact on what this team would be able to do in the NFC in terms of competing for not only the NFC North, but just in terms of getting out of the NFC. Now, I think they're in the same spot as they were at the end of last year.
Now, as far as the number, who's going to be the starter to start the season, Foles is a favorite at minus 200 and Trubisky plus 150. You know, a lot of this comes down to pride, right? Because Ryan Pace is still grinding pridefully to make up for that pick. Remember, he traded away some picks to go up and grab Trubisky a few years back. So it's almost like they dug in with Trubisky. But the favorite right now, Amal, is Foles at minus 200 to be the starter week one.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the starting quarterback. Mitchell Trubisky has not shown enough in 3 years to warrant him being the starter under center. Now, there's a prop I saw listed at Foles over under 4,000 yards. That's when I would look towards the under, because first of all, you're looking at a 13-game stretch where he's got to throw for 300 yards. And do we even know he's going to start all 16 games? That remains to be seen with Foles, because he could go into the tank at some point in time. So to me, that would be an underplay on Nick Foles there.
You know what, Vinny, throw that graphic you had just up there, Jacob, because I want to point this out. It's funny. I just looked at a book I use offshore, and they've got the Bears at 8.5 as far as a win total. And again, like I mentioned, the over is juiced up. So the bets are coming in on the over there. We got a total right there. Great job, Jacob, at 7.5. So the discrepancies book to book with these futures and the props are it's huge. You got a shot for whatever. If you're looking at a number and you're seeing a 7.5 and 8.5, the discrepancy there is mammoth.
Well, you've got to shop prices, because obviously if you think that the Bears are going to be improved and Foles is going to be the quarterback and contribute to that improvement, then obviously your decision's easy to go over 7.5. If you think that they're going to just tread water, and again, you have to ask yourself this, whether it's Foles or Trubisky, and I personally think Foles is a little bit better. Do you believe that the Bears possess the fourth best quarterback in the division? And I think in many eyes, they do. People do that. And if that's the case, then under 8.5 is probably going to be your play.
Okay, Amal, we've got the number. Let's assume Foles is the starter there, which we all agree that should be the case. 4,000 plus passing yards. That number for the regular season is set at 4,000, and the juice is 115 both ways.
I said the under. You know, look, just on the basis of the fact that I don't believe he's going to play 16 games as a starter, I think at some point in time he'll run into a hiccup, whether it be via injury or the fact that he gets benched. So now you're looking at 13 of the 16 games, just right off the top, he's got to throw for 300 yards. I mean, to me, when you look at the math on this number, it's interesting in the sense that you're looking at least 250. When do Bears quarterbacks just sit back there and grip it and rip it, you know, a la John Daly style? They don't. That's not what they're going to do with their quarterbacks. They want to play defense, play position. I just don't think you're going to have enough opportunity. And you look at the receiving core, Allen Robinson, very good receiver, but then you got Cordarrelle Patterson. He's not a guy that I want out there. I mean, so to me, they haven't really improved their offense that much. And here's the other thing. We can pretty much bank on the Bears probably missing on their first round pick like they do every year. So, you know, I don't see much improvement coming with this team.
Hey, Vin, let's take a look at the division, the NFC North, as you mentioned. The Packers are your betting favorite at plus 125. Minnesota, your second betting favorite at plus 225. And then I was a little surprised here. Chicago's 3-1. That's not enough for me to take a bite there for them to win that division.
No, 3-1 is you need a little bit more, because really you've got to first determine, do you think that Chicago overall is better than Detroit? Some people think yes. Some people think that the Lions are going to be more improved this year too. Again, Lions quarterback situation is certainly stronger than the Bears. So I think that's going to enter into the discussion and the decision making. But you have to get better than 3-1 for the Bears, in my opinion. I would agree with you.
And to your point, Amal, now they switched up OCs, remember the Bears, and this is a show and prove season for Nagy as well. But it's interesting, they've continued to shore up that defense, and the weak link on that offense, not just in the backfield, but the offensive front. And as you mentioned, Foles maybe not playing a full 16. A lot of that has to do with the fact that this offensive front for the Bears just isn't very good.
It really isn't. And that's the big concern you have when you look at the Chicago Bears. This team just overall has not done a ton. You mentioned it. Bill Lazor comes in as the OC. He was at Penn State last year as an analyst. How effective is he going to be remains to be seen. I think sometimes when you bring in these guys from college who've had terrific success, offenses have been prolific, it's still a different situation. You know, when you're Penn State, you can just spread your guys out, put a KJ Hamler on the edge, and he's just going to be able to outplay the other guys based on his ability. So for me, I still have some concerns there with what they're going to do offensively. I have question marks surrounding the Bears. And I'm with you, Patrick. That 3-1 is nowhere near high enough. It should be closer to 450 or 5-1.
Hey, just to follow up on Lazor, remember, that says a lot about Dalton. I don't know if it's an indictment on Dalton, but they went out and traded for Foles. Lazor was running that offense there in Cincinnati for years when Dalton was the quarterback. So they said, no, we don't need that. We'll go Foles instead of Dalton.
That's absolutely right. And to me, you know, when you just look big picture right now, I just think the Bears, they need to get a player in the draft that's impactful, right? Long retires. That obviously was a blow to the offensive line, but he was hurt part of the year last year. Kevin White was injured every year there. He was in Chicago. Yeah. Leonard Floyd goes via free agency. You don't even re-sign a rookie. You draft high in the first round. Roquan Smith has been playing fairly well for the most part. Fuller's been really the impact guy, but they didn't have a pick last year because of the Khalil Mack trade. So, I mean, to me, this team still has a long way to go. They need somebody that can have an impact. And I thought they really had an opportunity to sign a quarterback, and I just don't get the Nick Foles signing.
We have a heavy here at VSiN, Vinny. We have a heavy Chicago influence. I just realized, when the book opens, do you expect to see Todd and Brian and Michelle Musburger? Are they going to come up and hammer that over 7.5 on the Bears this year?
Listen, here's what they've learned, right? They don't bet with their heart. They bet with their head because they listen to the things that we talk about. So no, I don't.
I interrupted you, by the way. You were going to say,
no, just to expand a little bit on what Amal was saying. I think when you look at the Bears, there's still such a reliance on their defense. And if you look at what happened last year, the defense was good. It was just on the field too much. I'm a little surprised they did not get involved, more involved with some other free agent signings. Particularly on the offensive line. But again, it remains to be seen what they're going to do. They've got a lot more question marks, I would say, than just about any other team in that division right now.
And it's a pretty good draft as far as the offensive front, so maybe they're going to try something there. I just have a minute here, Amal. I just want to get your thoughts quickly. I'm going to throw a number on Allen Robinson. 7.5, the touchdown total set. A little juiced up to the over. 7.5.
Yeah, this is not the kind of prop I would get involved with. I think it's a tough call either way. There could be a scenario where he catches the ball, gets tackled at the one, or there's another one, he's got a wide open touchdown, and there's a PI, and he's unable to catch it. So for me, it's a stay away. I think it could go either way. He could wind up at 9, or he could wind up at 5.
All right, boys. Hey, coming up
by
next.
By the way, Patrick, real quick, I don't think they don't have a first-round pick, do they?
The Bears, no, they don't. That's a great point. They're still hurting from the Khalil Mack trade.
That's right. No. So, you know, that's
tremendous
another reason
point,
why I thought they would get a little more involved in the free agent market.
Texans, Bills, Cowboys, Buccaneers. The question coming up next here on My Guys in the Desert is, will they or won't they make the postseason? We'll ask Amal and Vinny about that. Also, Matt Williamson, ESPN scout, is going to join us to talk about the draft as we continue along on a Tuesday here. It's My Guys in the Desert on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Come on back.